Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right. I want to go ahead and switch over and talk about wrapping up this last part of hearing God's voice. As we know, and as we've been talking about, a little bit of summary is that God is speaking to you, which is one reason why I want to stop these gates of the pornography and stuff coming, because it tries to separate us, tries to keep us from hearing God's voice, and we need to hear God's voice. Personally, it's what you were made for when you became born again. The open dialogue, open communication with the creator of heaven, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit living inside. God is speaking all the time. We want to hear his voice and learning to discern what is his voice and what isn't. There's this journey of identifying that. The scripture provides a lot of ways that shows us what is God and what isn't. Of course, we have the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. But learning to identify and understand what he's saying is really important as well. So I want to focus a little bit of time on interpretation. Basically, anything that is revelation or God speaking has three different elements to it. The first one is what I'm going to call revelation, hearing him. And hearing him, as we've talked about, can be dozens or hundreds of different ways, whether it's a vision, whether you hear something like audibly, whether it's something in the scripture really stands out to you and your spirit is like, God is saying something to me here in this way. Or a dream, it can be many different ways. All that is called revelation. There's some information that has come to you in some way from God. Sometimes it's just a feeling. And then the next part of this is interpretation. Interpreting what you just saw, heard, felt, read. Whatever that is, we need to interpret what does that say. And then the third part is application. How do I apply it? So I've seen something, I felt something, I've asked God for the interpretation, or someone else helped me with that, and now it's how do I apply it to my life? Or how do I apply it and give this away as a word of encouragement to someone else? So those are the three parts, the three elements of the prophetic or hearing from God. So again, focusing on just the interpretation element of that today, I want to go through this fairly quickly. And as a reminder, on the announcement, you saw that Dawn and Sarah Wingate are going to teach a dream interpretation class starting next Sunday morning, right? For 3 weeks, is that right? At 9 a.m. I encourage you to go to that. They'll be able to go through some of this in a deeper way than I am. And interpretation for dreams is very similar to interpretation for all the other ways that God speaks. And so there'll be some great keys in there. Encourage you to come to that starting next week. But let me just give you a few here. One thing is that life and walking with God, it's about relationship with him. We can never get away with that, away from that, and we never want to. We want to, and the closer that we get to God, the more time we spend talking with him, listening to him, reading his word, responding to him, being obedient to the things that we feel like he's saying to us, our relationship grows with him, and that is the main key to understanding interpretation. The closeness that we have with God, as we get closer to him, we begin to understand the ways that he communicates, we understand what he means by what he communicates. Just like I mentioned my relationship with my wife, the more I've walked with her, the more that I've spent time with her and discovered what she's really like, the more I understand what she's saying to me. It's the same with God. So relationship with him is paramount. It's the most important part of understanding interpretation, understanding what he's saying. As we press into him, we're going to understand, and we're going to miss it a lot of the times. And that's okay. I still am missing it, and I'll share some of those today. But we're going to grow along the way. We make adjustments and go, oh, that's what he meant. I do that. I've done that with my wife. Oh, that's what she meant. I didn't know that when I first heard it. So life is about growing closer in relationship and learning some of those things. There are contexts throughout the scriptures. That's why we never want to take one thing out and build a doctrine on that. You have to see what it is in context. And then secondly, as it says in Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of thy word is truth. So you're not just looking at the context of that moment, but the context of the whole scripture. What is God saying throughout to develop doctrine? And so we want to look at things that way. And when we're hearing from the Lord, things can mean one thing one moment, and they might mean something different in a different context or a different moment. I'll give you an example. I used to live in Asia. One of the shocking things, I drove there, and everything is the opposite of what I knew here. It was a former British colony. I lived in Sri Lanka. You drive on the other side of the road, steering wheel's on the other side of the vehicle. You're shifting at a Land Cruiser, and I'm shifting with my left hand, which is weird. Okay, clutch and brake are still the same, and the fuel, but everything was different. Well, here was one thing that really stood out to me as being different, is that here in America, when, let's say, you're wanting to go somewhere and someone is facing you in another vehicle and they're letting you turn in front of them, sometimes they will flash their lights, like it's a nice thing, like go ahead. That is a common thing here. In Asia, it's the opposite. If someone flashes their lights at you, that means I'm coming through, get out of my way. It's the exact opposite. So not only are you driving on the opposite side of the road, trying to remember that one, but the signals are the 180 degrees out. And there's a lot of passing on dangerous roads. And when you see a huge lorry or a big truck coming your way and they're flashing their lights, that's not a nice thing saying, come on. It's the exact opposite. So understanding the interpretation of the signals or the revelation is important in the context. And you see that through the scriptures as well. So interesting to me. I'll use this as an example. Like a lion. In the Bible, a lion can be something bad. Like the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, right? That's a scripture. So we know that the devil is like a lion. Well, who else is called a lion? Jesus. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. So you have one symbol or one element that can mean the devil or Jesus. Okay, so we can never, when we hear something or feel something or sense something, assume that it always means this. And I can't assume that with my wife either. Because it's about relationship. What is she saying in that moment? What is God saying in that moment? In addition to lions, you've got several things in the scripture that are like that. Snake, very similar. Wind, very similar. Good or bad. It could be a storm, a hurricane. It'd be something, the wind of the Spirit, really good. Water, fire, the fire of the Lord. And then the fire that burns up the hay and the stubble. So you've got so many of these things that can have completely polar opposite meanings or interpretation, but it's based on the context. It's based on the relationship. What is God saying in that moment? And so I've made mistakes oftentimes where I've heard or saw something and I assume this is what God meant without asking. And that's where I've made some mistakes. I'll tell you one story here real quick about it. I remember being in New York. We were at a church teaching on the prophetic and hearing God's voice. And I saw someone up in the balcony and I had a word for them. I saw a vision. And the vision I saw was of this woman. When I looked at her, I saw her like having a nice heavy vest on. And that vest had a chain connected to the shoulder and it went back like to the horizon. And so I immediately interpreted, I didn't ask the Lord, I interpreted chains are bad, right? They keep you chained. They keep you from something. You're stuck. They keep you bound. So I started to give this word. And as I'm saying the interpretation to her, I would turn it into a positive thing. The Lord is wanting to free you from something. But as I begin to say it, I can feel in my spirit, it's wrong, my interpretation. Now, that's really a bad place to start doing that when you're in public and you're giving a word to someone and all of a sudden midway you feel like what you're saying is wrong. So I humbled myself and I just said, you know what? Everything I just said to you, I'm not certain. Could you please come and talk to me after the service? So she came up front at the end, and I just was saying, Lord, I don't understand this. And a friend of mine was with me who is better interpretation than I am oftentimes. And he said, what did you see? So I told him what I saw. And he said, oh, well, that chain isn't a bad thing in this case. That vest is a mantle God has put on her, and the chain is a link to her family. And he asked her this question. Were any of your parents, forefathers, mothers in ministry? And she said, yes, my father is a pastor, my grandfather is a pastor. And so here, and you can feel it, like just like you can right now. You could sense the right interpretation to what I saw. I didn't see it wrong. I interpreted it wrong. The right interpretation was there is a link that has been passed down from those before you, and there's a mantle on you of ministry. Now, that's beautiful. It's encouraging, it's powerful, and it's right. What wasn't right was what I started to say. And so, you know, we're going to miss it sometimes, but we can never automatically assume. Assuming gets everybody in trouble. You know what the saying about that? Assuming makes up of you and me. So we don't want to assume things. We want to ask things. Both Daniel, one of the greatest interpreters and receivers of revelation in history, as well as Joseph, remember him interpreting the dreams of the Pharaoh, as well as Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, they both said the same thing. They said this, Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, interpretations belong to God. They belong to God. So if God owns the interpretation, how do we get it? We ask. We get in relationship with him, and we are open to what he's saying. We're listening, and then he will show us what things mean. And it's a blast at the same time. It really is a wonderful thing. Couple of stories here. There can be layers, and not everything is complicated with lots of layers. Some things are just very simple. Most of the time God is speaking to us, it's not this complicated thing. It's usually very simple. But then there are moments where, whether it's a dream or whether it's just a detailed word for someone, there can be layers to it. Some of the important ones for our lives can have different layers, and I'll give you an example. 2002, I was celebrating a New Year's in a church service, and I was holding a bottle of water. And I was drawn to it. As the clock struck midnight, my attention was drawn to this bottle of water. I didn't know why. I didn't understand it. But I knew God was drawing me. I could feel it, my spirit pulling. He's trying to say something to me. That's all I knew. I read every letter on that bottle more than once. I was so convinced that God was saying something to me that I put my house for sale and tried to move to the place where it was bottled, which is Advance, North Carolina. Le Bleu is a Le Bleu bottle. Or Advance, sorry. I tried to move there. My house didn't sell, but I knew God was saying something. So I pressed and said, Lord, I don't understand. What are you saying? It took months. And months later, it was like a aha. And it was, Matt, I want you to go ahead and sell bottled water. Use the profits to dig wells in Africa. That's how we started hydrating humanity. It started with that. And as I pressed in and didn't get anything for a long time, it became clear. Well, here's the weird layer. Guess where I live now? Advance, North Carolina. 13 years after that revelation. But the revelation had layers to it. The first one was to get involved in the water business to help people in Africa, which we've just dug our 780th well that started from there. Thank you, Lord. So that was one layer. Another layer was getting my family to that area. And it's all the way up here. I was living in South Charlotte at the time. South of Waxhaw. I was living way south of Charlotte. move 2 hours away is where we are. So that word had layers to it. One that I'm in the midst of right now, still learning, honestly. I shared a bit of it here. This was a dream I had in March of this year. I think it was March 15th or 16th. Had a very vivid dream. I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. Interpretation is not as easy, but it was about COVID. And I shared this with you. Felt like I saw these two creatures, lion, half dog. Felt like it represented COVID. One was full, strong, fierce, synthetic, everything. Nothing was man-made. It was all man-made. It wasn't real as far as natural. I saw this first creature, and the second one was fierce on the front end, and it was withered on the back end. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me that it had to do with timing related to COVID, how long it would be here. I prayed about it quite a bit, asked for the interpretation, and in my mind, in my heart, it's that it would last 6 weeks or a year and a half, because one's full and then one half, and it would start fading. So I was aiming for 6 weeks, really hoping that that would be, that the fierceness of it would last 6 weeks. That's what I saw in the dream. It was very fierce for the first 6 weeks, then it started to tail off and to wither. And so I shared that. Well, here we are. How long has it been now? April, May, June, July, August, September. 7 months. It's still here. So maybe it's the year and a half interpretation for one. That's one thing I'm thinking. But I'm also thinking it has layers. Here's why. I was just looking at something on the news. This is on Reuters. It's one of the news places I go to fairly regularly. And this is COVID deaths. And if you can, it's interactive online. It's not obviously here. But the high point there, daily deaths, the high point was right at the end of that 6 weeks. The end of April, which is what I was feeling, that the fierceness of it or the death of it would peak these first 6 weeks and it would start to tail off. And that's exactly what it has done. You could look at that date on there and it started to tail off as far as deaths. So that could be part of the interpretation, or I could just have been wrong. Where it really is going to be around a year and a half or so before it starts really tailing off. Hopefully not. That's not the case. I'm still learning in this. And so the interpretation, timing especially with interpretation, is the toughest part. You know, so many times in the scripture, you'll see where timing, people miss it. Or Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times and epochs or the things that are going to come. You're not going to know the exact date or the time. Even Jesus returning, we can know a season. We might maybe know a year. We're not going to know the day or the hour. Some of these things are hidden. Some of them are revealed, and it's us pursuing and saying, God, what did you really mean by that? So that one I'm still trying to figure out all the way. And then other dreams that have had timing related to it or details have been very literal. I had a friend of mine when I was in the government. We all applied where we wanted to go in the world for our assignment, where the government would send us. And one of the places was, several countries weren't on the list at all to choose from. My friend chose these certain countries he wanted to go to, and then I had a dream. In the dream, he was sent to Manila, Philippines. He went there. Well, it wasn't on the list. No one put it on their list. And on the day when the suits walked in after our graduation of our training, they called out my friend's name and said, Manila, Philippines. I had told him the dream. He turned around with his mouth wide open. And it was the Lord doing that, and that was just very literal. There was not any interpretation needed in that. It was literal. So sometimes it's like that. I had another friend who I had a dream for them, about them, and in the dream there was a person who was stealing money from them, tens of thousands of dollars. Well, I didn't know that. That's not what I saw in the dream. What I saw in the dream was someone doing something to hurt them in the dream, right before they were about to retire. And so I called them, said, I've seen this dream. I feel like I prayed about it. I feel like this is a warning and to help expose something so that you don't get stolen from. And as I'm sharing the dream, I'm driving down the road and with my hands free. And I see a street sign. It just grabs my attention. And on the name of the street sign was a name, the exact name, of the person who worked for this person. And I shared it. I said, this is really weird, but as I'm telling you this, this really stood out. Maybe you should take a look. He did. That person had stolen $60,000 from him. Did not know it. That dream had some layers to it, had some interpretation that began to unfold as I was talking to him. So that's kind of weird stuff, but it's wonderful at the same time because it stopped further theft. It helped change something that was going on that was really bad. So the Lord's speaking. He speaks to you, every person, in different ways. Sometimes it's for you personally. Sometimes it's for other people. Sometimes it's to help other people. So there are some keys to interpretation. And, you know, some of it is gifting as well. I'm not the strongest related to the gifting of being able to interpret. Other people could have super strong gifts of interpretation. And so gifting could be a part of it. Being close to God, obviously, is the main thing I mentioned. Here's a second one. There's no system for interpretation. I mentioned that earlier. There's no system. It's not, God is not a computer. And you don't just, he doesn't say stuff and you go, oh yeah, this means that. And you can buy books that say this, you know, that will say, this is what everything means. Don't go by that. This is what this could mean. They can be really helpful, but it's not a computer program. Because interpretation and the ways of God, both of these things, are more of an art than they are a science. Because it's relational. Relationships are not 1 + 1 = 2, and I'm going to say these rote things over. No, there's emotion involved, there's love involved, there's context and feeling, and what's going on. There's a lot of things involved. And it's same with interpretation. And they belong to the Lord, as I said, Genesis 40, verse 8, Daniel 2, verse 30. We don't want to assume anything. Don't assume. That will get you just in trouble. And we need to have a redemptive heart for people and love people, especially if you're receiving something you feel like is from the Lord. You want to make sure that you love that person, that you care about that person, that you want their best. Sometimes you can get something that you feel like is from the Lord, but if your heart is against that person, you're going to interpret it in a way that's going to be harmful and hurtful instead of helpful. We don't want to do that. We want to love people. I won't go through the whole story, but a moment where the Lord began to show me some things about a pastor that I was under at that time. But I really loved this guy. I wanted God's best. And so as I was receiving things that were almost correctional in nature, I didn't want to say anything to him. Because I wanted him to do well. So I began praying for him, asking God to help him with the things I was seeing and feeling. And sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night with this urgency from the Lord to pray for him. I can remember getting on my knees next to my bed, praying for my pastor in these areas. And then never saying a word to anybody. Didn't say a word to anyone else about what I was seeing, feeling. Several months later, he and I were in a meeting together. And just the two of us, I was actually going to him for some advice on something. And he said, well, let's pray. I said, great. So he started to pray. And as he's praying, he says, oh, Jesus. I thought, oh, no. What is he seeing for me about me? And he just kept going, oh, I hear you, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm really scared. And then he said, in his prayer still, Lord, I hear what you're saying to me. And he started to confess certain things that all of a sudden had just become clear in his own life that I'd been praying for him for 6 months for. That no one had ever knew what I was feeling, sensing. I never said anything to anybody. I took it to the Lord. And the Lord, in that, chose that moment for my benefit, I think, to show that there is so much power as we have hearts for other people and pray for them instead of try to criticize, fix, gossip about. The scriptures say, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. You can look at it in several different translations. It's a beautiful thing that here's what prophecy is for. Here's what the revelation from God is for when it comes to other people, or those people on the other side of the bowl of soup I talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's to encourage, it's to build up, and it's to edify. This version says, he who prophesies speaks for men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. It's for good things. It's not to criticize, expose, and demean, or whatever. It's none of those things. The revelation God gives us is to build other people. It's to console them or comfort them, encourage them. If we have that heart, God will give us things to give away more and more and more. I believe the Lord could give John, the Apostle John, so much revelation, and Daniel, because of their heart for the people that they were around. Daniel was working for Nebuchadnezzar. This guy was volatile, evil most of the time, but Daniel's heart was that he would be blessed. That's incredible to me. And what kind of revelation does Daniel get? Revelation for that entire kingdom, for Nebuchadnezzar's life, and for our future that we haven't even been in yet. God was able to give him a ton of revelation because of his heart. His heart for love for people, his honoring of people. Pretty incredible. And then one other key related to understanding, interpretation, it's found in 2 Peter 1:19-21, says we have the prophetic word made more sure, which you would do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of the private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we have the more sure word of prophecy, the Bible says, is the Bible. And so we want to make sure that whatever we are receiving, that it doesn't contradict or conflict with what the scriptures say. The scripture is that sure word for us. And then we want to ask the Lord, what do things mean when we see them? What's the context for right now? So asking God, what are you saying? What do you mean? What are you saying right now? And it may be different later or the next day or, you know, in a different situation. And then lastly, related to interpretation, and not just interpretation, but application. When we apply what we receive and we feel like it's for someone else, we want to make sure that our heart not only loves them, but we care about them. They're wanting to encourage, build up, and edify them. But also, the last part is we want to make sure that we don't see ourselves as an authority over them. In other words, revelation does not give someone authority over another person. That's a big mistake that's happened a billion times in the body of Christ over the last couple thousand years. Revelation does not give you authority, does not give me authority, does not give anybody authority. What gives us authority is responsibility. If you have responsibility for someone, you have authority then to correct. What revelation does, it gives us the opportunity to encourage and build up and edify. And if we can keep those straight, those clear, our interpretation won't get messed up as much. Because if we think I'm an authority over someone, and I honestly, one of the reasons I can say this is because I've done this wrong. I have gone to one of my former pastors, and I tried to correct and fix them, both he and his wife. I was 18 years old. What I was seeing actually was fairly accurate. But I thought that revelation meant I have authority to fix because I'm the one seeing this. What I didn't understand was that authority comes with responsibility, and I didn't have responsibility to correct or fix them. I had responsibility to pray for them, love them, take this to the Lord, and maybe at worst, in one sense, is to present something to them, but not to come to fix or correct. And so that is a really important element. If you're an intercessor, you're gonna see things. If you're a seer or you have prophetic gifts, everyone does to some degree, but if you have maybe sharp prophetic gifts and you're gonna see things, hear things, feel things, make sure that you don't put yourself, because you see these things, as now I am the authority because other people aren't seeing what I'm seeing, and all of a sudden you find yourself elevated, when really the gifts of the Spirit are to serve one another. They're to serve, not to be condescending toward or to fix other people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the fixing as we love and encourage and edify, help, speak kindly, all of those things. Hopefully that makes sense to everybody. We want to speak in love. 1 Corinthians 13 says it that way. Speak in love. So let's pray and we can go. Lord, thank you for this day, this time in history. Thank you for Jesus being victorious over every bit of sin, darkness, hell, death, the grave, all the pornography stuff. Lord, you are victorious over all of these things. I'm asking, Lord, for your help for each of us and for every family and for every single person. Lord, that you would help us to not only be holy, which is what you called us to be holy like you are, to wrap ourselves in your righteousness, to receive what you have done, Jesus. But Lord, I ask for your freedom. I ask for your wholeness. I ask for your help, for your healing, for your restoration of memories and mind, that in any and every brain in here that may have been changed in a negative way, in a detrimental way due to pornography or any type of addiction, Lord, I'm asking for that to be restored fully. You have that ability. You have that power. It's your desire to set us free. You came to set every captive free. Thank you that you've done that, Lord. I ask that you'd keep us free, that you'd help us to protect those that we have responsibility for, those that we love. And Lord, I thank you that you speak. Help us to understand what you're saying and to pursue you and to be on this adventure with you that God is speaking to me. What is he saying and how can I help other people? Lord, I pray that we would all have hearts on fire, that we would not be dulled or dimmed or cold-hearted in any way toward you. But more and more every day, as it's called today, that our hearts would be alive and on fire and desiring you and loving you. Thank you that you live inside of us, Holy Spirit, that we are your temple, and that you want to use us to be lights in the world, to be love in the world, to demonstrate you, to represent you. We get to represent you in this life. And Lord, I bless every person, every family, every single person. I'm asking, Lord, for your help this week, that you'd use us, that you'd inspire us, Lord. And Lord, thank you for your words and your word. May it be hidden in our heart and pursued by us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.